Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right. How are you doing, 1130? Come on, you excited? Man, and just that's a little snapshot of what Blaze Church is, who Blaze Church is. And if we haven't met, my name is Keith. I serve alongside my wife as the lead pastors here. So grateful that you're with us. And when you came in, we had some of these. If anyone didn't receive this, just throw your hand up. We got Edwin. He's coming around right now to make sure everyone's got. Awesome. I want to make sure that everybody's got one of these because really this series that we're in and we're finishing up today, it feels very Bible study-esque. It's really just kind of us diving in and a little bit more than we ever have and just really learning some principles and some ways of living that God has for us. And so I love that in Bible study, there's kind of like those fill in the blanks. And what I did was I filled in all the blanks for you. So you've got these, everything's filled in. And if you want to add a little bit to it, of course you can as we wrap up this series today. How many of you like sharing some good news with people? Anybody, you like sharing, letting people know what's going on in your life, some good news? Awesome. Well, this past Tuesday, I had opportunity to share some really good news with a couple people. And I woke up Tuesday morning and had this notification on my phone. And it said that pumpkin spice lattes were back at Starbucks. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. And man, I was so excited. And I just started sending people screenshots and messages. Pumpkin spice is back. And I've already this week had two pumpkin cream cold brews. So pray for me. I really need deliverance from this because they're about to take all of my money during this fall season. But there's just something so special about sharing good news with someone, exciting news. Maybe you've had privilege to share with someone, you know, when you're in a relationship or you got engaged or that you're having children or that your children are moving out. Praise the Lord. Whatever season of life you're in, it's just great to share good news. Or maybe it's a show that you're really enjoying and you're telling people you got to check this out or it's a sale at a store. It's very easy. It's actually natural for us when you think about it, for us to share good news that excites us with other people. Now, let's be honest, because it's church. Don't let me be the only person with my hand up in this next moment, okay? How many of us would be honest, we say we struggle a little bit with sharing the gospel with people? Like good news about right? If your hand didn't go up, you actually struggle with lying. That's what I'm just joking there. But all of us, we're all in this together. It's so easy for me to tell you about a sale or a show or a store or something I'm doing. But then it's like when I go to talk about Jesus, I get intimidated. I get nervous. Are the words going to come out right? Am I going to say the right thing? And all of that is what we're going to talk about today. Because as we wrap up this series, Essential Worker, I want you to realize that as we read in Peter, you and I are living stones being put together to form a spiritual house in this world, that we're showing this world what the kingdom of God is like in its fullness, in our speech, in healing, in life, in everything. Well, part of that is sharing our faith in God with others, is telling people the good news of the gospel. And so our question today is, why should you want to develop a habit of sharing Jesus? You know, we've been asking this why question every week. Why should you develop a habit of praying? Why should you develop a habit of scripture reading? And notice that word that's key there is habit. This isn't about doing something on a Sunday or once or a couple times a year, but really building a lifestyle, a habit. I really enjoyed and loved being in Galatians this past week. Did you enjoy that? I loved using the Blaze devotional and reading through Galatians. Now, just because we've read through it doesn't mean that you did your reading for the year. Now you continue. It's about building a habit. So how do we build a habit of sharing our faith? Of when you're around maybe family members that don't know God or friends that don't know God, or it's your barista or your gym buddies. Man, I did the gym 5 days this week, everybody. I felt so good to just be back in that environment and really being around lost people who don't know God. How do we live on mission might be the phrase we'd say. How do we live in a way where we're always attentive to saying, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus here. I'm called to share my faith here. Why should that matter to us? And to answer that question, what I want to do is I want to turn to scripture. I want to read the words of Jesus. And I want to show you that for motivation, there is a problem and there is a solution. Jesus is going to tell us the problem in this world, why we should be passionate about sharing our faith. And then he's also going to tell us the solution. And both of those things together give us the real motivation of why we should build this habit. And what I love about the ministry of Jesus, when you read throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the writings in Scripture, you're going to notice something very consistent, and it's repeated with the ministry of Jesus. Where he went, he would preach the gospel. He'd really tell people about himself. He would share the good news, and he would heal the sick. People would get delivered. There would be signs and miracles. And that's why we believe in divine healing. That's why we believe in miracles and in signs and wonders and all that the Holy Spirit is continuing to do today. And that was the ministry of Jesus. He would lay his hands on people and they would be delivered and set free. And oftentimes you'll read that the description is given that Jesus would look with eyes of compassion. In fact, would you say that word with me? Eyes of compassion. Compassion. That's important. Because I think too often I found myself putting on glasses of condemnation, of looking down on others and filling my heart with pride and saying, how could they live that way? And eyes of judgment, and not eyes of love, but eyes of anger. Jesus would look and he would have eyes of compassion. He would look, and in fact, Scripture says that he would often see people as sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know how many of you own sheep. In fact, if you do, let me know, because I think that's really interesting if you actually have some sheep. But in the first century, people understood when Jesus said they were like sheep without a shepherd because they wouldn't know what that image would be like. It would be like just these sheep wandering in danger, just kind of blind without any direction, no one to care for them, no one to guide them and watch over them. And Jesus said he would look out at the people he preached and healed and touched and said, they just look like sheep without a shepherd. And this is what Jesus then said. We're going to pick up the moment in Matthew. Matthew and Luke both record the same moment. In Matthew, after Jesus does this, he preaches, he heals, he sees the crowds. Look what he says in chapter 9, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but what's that word there? The workers, right? Essential work, but the workers are few. And you have this written down on the handout that you got. Really, what Jesus is doing is he's giving us the problem. He's motivating us to action, to share our faith. And here's the problem that Jesus presents. He says that there are way more lost people than there are essential workers. He says, there's way more people that don't know God than there are people that do know God, and that people who know him and are willing to share their faith. And think in your own life right now. Think about your friend circle, your families, the people you interact with. How many don't know God? I know for me, I've got a lot of friends that don't know God, that they're living for themselves. And honestly, that's really why I'm glad that the gym is back open, because that's really where I get to be with people consistently that don't know him. And I look and they don't know God. Scripture says that we're lost when we don't know him. Now, I just want to pause for a second, because maybe this is your first time in church today, and you're looking at this guy you never met before wearing a salty and lit shirt. I'll explain that in a couple minutes. And you're saying, this guy keeps saying, I'm a lost person. What does he mean by that? Let me explain what that means, because I think I'm going to get a good amen here. How many of you who are saved today, you would say, I once was lost. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's not due to any person around you being better than you. It's not due to anything they've done. It's actually due to the grace of God. It's because God sent his son to this world to seek and save, say it with me, the lost. That's the gospel. He came to seek and save those who were lost so that we might put our faith in him and be found. And so if today is one of your first days in church, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to invite you. I'm trying to show you that the gospel in itself might be offensive, because it tells you, yes, you are lost, you are dead in your sin, but the good news is that Jesus Christ came to save you and give you eternal life in his name. And so I'm excited for you today, because you're going to be stirred up, and that's the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father, and you put your faith in Jesus, you're going to have that energy and that excitement. I got to go save some people. We want to do that the right way, okay? Because we've all had those not so right way experiences, haven't we? And so I'm excited for you. So Jesus says, here's the problem. There's a whole lot of lost people. There's not enough workers. So then Jesus gives us the solution. In the next verse, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, if we're not careful, we might miss what Jesus is saying here. That's why we have to keep reading in the Gospels. So Jesus says, here's the problem. There's too many people that don't know me. There's not enough workers. So here's the solution. Ask the Lord to send out workers. It's so tempting for us in that moment to just get on our knees and say, Jesus, would you send someone to my unsaved family member? You know what the Holy Spirit's about to do, right? Tap you on the shoulder. Can I talk to you for a second? You're it. I have sent someone to your lost family member, and it's you. You get the, don't miss this. You don't get the burden of sharing your faith. You get the privilege of sharing your faith. You get to experience the overwhelming joy to say, I want to make sure that you don't go a separate way from God's way. I want to make sure that you don't end up eternally distant from our God. I want to make sure that you live a full, abundant life today. That is not a burden. That is a privilege. And if you've ever had that privilege to see someone that you share the gospel with, give their life to Jesus, be transformed, you know there is no greater joy. I'm telling you, there really is nothing greater than seeing someone go from what Scripture says, dead to alive. So you are the solution. In fact, Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How will they hear unless someone goes? And how will they go unless they're sent? And it just keeps going through until he eventually gets to where the one breakdown is, that someone needs to preach the gospel. And hear this today. Church, and capital C church, followers of Christ, you're plan A, and there really is no plan B. That you are... That's a privilege. God has said that you are to work hand in hand with him in seeing people come to know God. In fact, if you read the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, really outlines the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, all that took place in the first century church. There's not one moment where you're going to find that someone received the gospel apart from a person preaching the gospel. The closest you'll find is Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, where he is blinded by a light, which is really Jesus, and he says, why are you persecuting me? But even then, he needs Ananias to come alongside him, lay hands on him, and say, brother Saul, receive God. There's always a person. What I'm trying to get you to understand today is you've been invited to share your faith. And that's why this question then comes up. How do I do it? All right, I'm a little motivated. There's a problem. Scripture's saying I'm the solution, but how do I actually share my faith with Jesus? Now, if you Google this question like I did this week, you're going to get a whole bunch of options on the internet. You're going to get lots of different methods, lots of different styles. You're going to get all these different, and truthfully, you might be a little bit overwhelmed. In fact, even as I was preparing, I said, God, how do I stand up in front of all different people, some that I know, some that I don't, some I know very well, and how do we kind of just say, well, this is how we do it when each one of us are uniquely made by God? You were created on purpose for a purpose, and your personality is beautiful. Some of you, you can go up to a stranger later today down at Riverhead, and you're going to make them feel like you're their best friend. They're going to give their life to Jesus. You're going to baptize them in the Peconic, and they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But all before lunch, you're just going to be able to just do that because that's your personality. You have others of you, I say go talk to a stranger, and you, I'm out of here. I'm done. This is not my church. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Okay, that's why we're uniquely made by God. And you don't have to be an extroverted people person, talk to stranger to share your faith. It's really all followers of Christ are called to share their faith. And I think maybe the problem is you've had some poor experiences with someone. I know even years ago, Amy and I, we were going into the city and we were going to see a very, very well-known preacher speaking Madison Square Garden, I believe, or just a very, very big venue. And we were very excited to be able to hear this person live. And on our way there, there were some people who were evangelizing on the street. In fact, they were really trying to get all of us who were going to see this preacher to know that we were going to be deceived. And so they set up their milk cartons and had their signs, turn or burn, you know, one of those signs, and just had a megaphone and were just yelling. And honestly, I didn't feel the love of God at all in that moment. I felt I was like, thank God we're going to church. I need Jesus after that. I didn't feel his love. I didn't feel a healthy conviction over my sin. I felt judged. I felt like that person was just wagging their finger at me. And so just to let your guard down right now, today we're not giving away megaphones, okay? No one's leaving here and getting everything you need to go and really be a distraction on the street. But what I want you to realize is that we don't have to search further than Scripture to see what Jesus had said about sharing our faith. I think Jesus actually gives us the best metaphor because it's from his mouth. And that's why today's message is called Salty and Lit. And so we're gonna reclaim some words that exist in culture today. And I even have a custom shirt made up just for the sermon today, because I really want to just get this into your head today, that we are to be called salt and light. We're gonna discover four things from these two metaphors that really show us how to form a habit of sharing Jesus. So let's just jump right into it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And when you see that word salt, say it with me. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Okay, some things. I love sharing personal things about me, just in case you ever end up on a game show and I'm the topic. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but maybe one can hope, right? So I love salt. Like, I really love, like, if you invite me over for dinner and I ask for salt, I'm not trying to offend you. I just love salt on my food. I put salt on my food before I try it. I just know this needs salt. I don't even need to know how it tastes. And I love that we have good, I like seeing all the spouses kind of stare at, like, you do that. I'm not trying to offend you, but we have white salt, table salt, pink salt, Himalayan salt. We are just flourishing with salt right now as a society. And I'm grateful, but here's what I know about it. The very best salt, if it stays in the shaker, is a table ornament. You could have paid the most amount of money for that salt, but if it does not leave the shaker and actually come in contact with the food, it's pointless. It doesn't make a difference. And that's why the first aspect you have to understand, if you are to build a habit of sharing your memories about habits, is you need to be close to lost people. You need to actually be close to people that don't believe in God. Now, there might be some tension that wells up in you when I say that, because maybe you come from a church background similar to one that I had, where it always felt like, don't get too close to the world, because if you get too close, then the world might change you. You know, kind of like, be in it, not of it, and don't love it, and don't go, it's darkness, and just watch yourself, brother. What? Whenever someone says brother, you know, like, it's just watch yourself, brother. You gotta be careful over there. I understand the warning that's coming, except for the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus really messes with that philosophy for me. Because Jesus got so close to lost people that oftentimes the religious would say, "You drunk and glutton." I mean, how much does he have to be drinking and eating to be accused of that by the religious? Say, why are you always with the tax collectors? Why are you always with the sinners? Why are you always with the prostitutes? And Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for what? The sick, and I came for the lost. And so I want you to understand that today, that if you are to build a habit of sharing your faith, you have to be around lost people. You've got to be close. Now, how do we be close is very important. Because I do believe that wisdom needs to come into place. I believe that there are places where Paul talks about the fruitless deeds of darkness and about walking by the Spirit. And there are just some places, man, I'm gonna pray all around it, but I'm not going in there. I'm gonna use wisdom. But here's the best way for you to be close. Two words. If you want to be close to someone so that you could share your faith, the first thing is you need to listen. Be close to people and don't go in speaking right away. James says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. I know it's cliche, but I think it's true. People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. That too often, we just present rules without relationships, and that just leads to rebellion. It's just, I can't hear what you're saying past everything you're saying. This past week, at the tragedy of the shooting of Jacob Blake, because that's really what it is, I texted some of my friends, my black friends, and I just said, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm listening. I'm not going to try to debate. I'm not going to defend. I don't need anything else. I just need you to know that I'm listening right now. And too often we get so up in arms with making sure that people know our stance and my side and what I believe and the way I see it. And all of that junk, because that's what it is, gets in the way of leading people to our Savior. Stop trying to get people to come to your side of the aisle and start trying to get them to see your Savior, because he's the one that people need to see. Just let's represent Jesus, and let's do it by listening. And if there's tension right now and you feel like, Pastor, stop being political, I'm not being political, I'm being gospel. This has nothing, if I can't say Black Lives Matter and you immediately think that, man, you just support an organization. I'm not talking about any politics or organization. I'm saying Black Lives Matter because Black Lives Matter, because that they matter. And I think we need to do a lot more listening. And we need to then immediately love. That's the second thing. You want to be close to someone, we listen and we love them. Jesus had eyes of compassion. Jesus didn't look and say judgment, condemnation. In fact, in John 3:17, he tells a religious leader, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus had eyes of compassion for people. And if we will really start to listen and love, we can be close enough. And here's the next part. It's right there on your sheet. To be change. Because I'm around lost people really so that I can bring the gospel to people. That is my God-given mission, and it's yours as well. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's really it. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound too loving then, because you're telling me you have some secret hidden agenda. You're just, no, let me answer that question with a question. How loving is it to be close to someone and withhold the gospel from them? How loving is that? But now the problem, you have to really believe the gospel for you to understand the weight of that statement. If you really believe the gospel, this is going to sound a little stronger. This is the gospel that apart from Christ, we are dead in our sin and stand guilty and face eternal separation from God. We're all eternal. We're all going to live somewhere, okay? That's one of the things we believe at this church. There is an eternity for all of us, and apart from Jesus, we are separated from God's presence, or we are in God's presence. If you really believe that, and that God in his grace has sent his Son as the way, the truth, and the life, how loving is it for us to say, well, I just don't want to offend you, so I'm not going to talk about Jesus. I don't want to be narrow-minded, so I'm not going to bring him up. Honestly, when you think about it, that's not too loving. You, Christ followers, you don't love that person if you're not willing to share Jesus with them. And I know there's tension here, and that's why we're working together through this. I love you too much to just let you live that way. I love you too much for you to just think that all there is today and tomorrow, and that's, I love you too, and God loves you too much. Jesus came, John 10:10, that we might have an abundant life, life to the full, and I want to make sure that you know that, and so we are close so that we can bring change. And so if I could encourage you with something today, it would be this. If I was writing this, I would, Jesus, just get there, say this, just stay salty, everybody. Just stay a little bit salty in our lives, and really, you know, in culture, that term salty, and kind of getting upset over things, and little things kind of bother you. How amazing would it be if the church started getting upset over the fact that there are way too many lost people in this world? That bothers me on a Monday morning, that when I get up and I'm at the gym, I'm thinking there's way too many people that don't know God right now. This is getting me upset. I got to go share the gospel with somebody. And that's why we need this third part. Be clear. I'm hoping today that you'll understand what the gospel is, that you can really share. Because we use this word every single week, gospel, the good news, the message of Jesus. I heard one pastor say the gospel in three words is really wrong and loved. You got to understand the bad news of the gospel to understand the good news of the gospel at the same time. The bad news is that apart from God, as I shared, we're separate from the Father, but in Jesus we are loved. You are way more sinful than you'd ever admit about yourself, but you're way more loved in God than you could ever hope for. It's the gospel. And Jesus shifts over from salt to light. And he says in the next verse, he says, you are the light of the world. And a town that's built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people, what's that word? Light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. I'm sure we all do this. You walk into a dark room, especially if it's a room you've never been in before, the first thing you're doing is one of these, right? It's got to be around here somewhere, and I'm not going any further till I find it, or you take out your phone and pull open the flashlight app, because we all understand that when you walk into a dark room with no light, you're going to get hurt. You're going to trip. You're going to fall. You can't see clearly. And so Jesus says, as the light of the world, you don't hide that light under a bowl. No, you're like a city on a hilltop shining bright for every person to see clearly the gospel, to see clearly the message of God's love. Now, let me explain what the gospel is using one verse. This might be one. There's all different ways, but let me give you one very easy way. In fact, it's a verse that you probably already know. Even if you don't believe in Jesus today, you've probably seen this verse on a poster board, or it's printed on the bottom of Forever 21 bags. It's just kind of made its way into culture, and it's John 3:16. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This verse gives us the whole gospel in one verse. Here's how I'd say it in 8 words. The first is this, God loved. God is the initiator. God first loved. And that's important to understand, because maybe you're connecting with some lost people who feel like, God can't love me, I'm not good enough. No, it's not based on you. Praise God, it's based on him and his character. It's based on the fact that God loved. Okay, what did God do because he loved? Well, he gave his son. He gave his son. Now we respond. We believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans says that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and we will be saved. Really here, we believe and we won't perish. That brings up a question, doesn't it? What do you mean perish? Oh, well, apart from Jesus, we all stand guilty of our sin and eternal perishing. But we believe, we receive eternal life, full life, abundant life, a spirit-filled life. So look at it. This is the gospel, 8 words. God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. And you gotta start really getting that in your heart. When those moments come to be a witness for Jesus, I want to share the gospel with this person. And then Jesus concludes with something very practical. He says in verse 16, he goes, "In the same way, let your," what's that word? "Light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You guys remember that Newsboys song, Shine, from the 90s? Anybody here? Don't make me feel alone up here. I know some of you got the CD in your car on the way here. All right, make them wonder what you got, man. What is that? Jesus, he really is going into savage mode here as he's saying, invisible light is pretty much as good as saltless salt. This isn't going to work for our lives, but why don't you live in such a way, right, your good deeds, your actions, your attitudes, your words, everything about you, who you are, live in such a way that it brings glory to God. And it says others will see it and bring glory to him too. So really, this is the fourth principle to building a habit. Be consistent. Be consistent in who you are at 11:30 a.m. service. You know where I'm going, right? And who you are Tuesday when someone posted something from the other side of the aisle that you don't agree with. Be consistent. In fact, this is just a little fun conviction for you. Some of you may have never thought to check into Blaze Church on a Sunday because you know it'll mess with your followers when they see that, because they know who you are Monday through Saturday and the other places you check in, right? That's not consistency. To really have a consistent character. I love what Billy Graham, he said this, and really one of the greatest evangelists, maybe of all time, but definitely of ours, and just sharing the gospel and seeing people give their lives to Jesus. He said, one of the best ways to share your faith is to live a godly life. That non-Christians often look at Christians as hypocritical because we say one thing, but we do another. In fact, some of you, it's taken you about 20 years for you to even come to a church because you had that experience. And I understand, I get it. Now, here's where I want to just call out the enemy before the enemy wants to grab everything that we're hearing today and just pull it away as fast as he can so it doesn't take root in our hearts. He wants to twist this and get us all in a place where we won't share. Let me just call out his lies right now. Being consistent does not mean being perfect. Because some of you, maybe you think, well, I can't share my faith because I'm not perfect. I struggle. I still sin. I'm still wrestling through things. The Holy Spirit's still working out his fruit in my life, so I guess that disqualifies me. The enemy is so deceptive, because what he will do is he'll stand on this side and he'll tempt you to come over and sin, and then he'll jump over here and accuse you of doing that thing and convince you you can't live on mission. So in the name of Jesus, we're going to stop him right now. We're not going to allow him to get us in a place where we can't share our faith. Here's really what I believe, and you have it written at the bottom of your sheet there. Being consistent is not about perfection. It's about a commitment to progress. Being consistent, where you say tomorrow morning, today, according to Scripture, I'm either going to walk by my flesh or I'm going to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to be committed to progress and walk by the Spirit. And when I fall, if I fall, I'm not going to just put on, where's my mask? Because this is 2020. I'm not going to just put on my mask and at the same time put on a Christian mask and let everybody think that I have it all together. And let everybody think that I'm a perfect Christian, because people are going to see right through that. That's really what a hypocrite is. But instead, I'm going to live consistently before others in a way where I say, man, I blew it. Imagine you go into work and you just share, man, I just had a rough weekend. I was so overwhelmed by anxiety. I just lost my temper. I didn't trust God. I didn't have peace. And they're going to say, well, I thought you were a Christian. I know, and I'm admitting this because the Holy Spirit is working these things out in my life. That's a consistent witness. That's someone saying, I want to understand more of that. Hey, I noticed you used to struggle in your speech that way, but now you don't struggle in your speech. What's going on there? Oh, there's a commitment to progress. The Holy Spirit's making me new. And this is in all facets of our lives, guys. I shared last weekend at our prayer service that I had a moment where I had to get on my knees and look my six-year-old in his eyes and say, will you forgive me? Because I shouldn't have yelled that way. Because I lost my temper. You might say, you don't have to ask your six-year-old to forgive you. You're right, I don't have to. But I want to live a consistent witness in my home to my kids, to where they understand following Jesus does not mean that you have it right all the time. And if you fall, we just don't talk about it. We just pretend Tuesday never happened. We didn't get that day this week. Daddy was a little upset. We just skip. No, I'm gonna acknowledge, man, I really didn't trust. He knows it. I say these words. I really didn't trust the Holy Spirit there, bud. Man, I didn't let him produce patience in my heart. Do you forgive me? That's going to make a difference in his life. Because really, parents, if I could speak to you for a minute, the real gift that you have in your children, the greatest purpose is for you to lead them to know God. That is your primary purpose. Listen, if they get the good grades and the education and the degrees and the college and all that stuff too and careers, great, 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 great. But the primary thing that we have as parents is to lead them to know Jesus. And so I'm going to do that through weaknesses and through successes. And before you think I'm great, I gave you one win out of a million losses, okay? I'm not secure enough to stand up here and tell you about all the times I really blew it. So don't think that I'm anything great. But what I know is at home, at work, at the gym, wherever you go, you're called to be salty and lit. You are called to go and bring the gospel where you go. And I know I gave you a whole lot today, and that's why I want to end with this. This is important. You're not called to do this alone. You're not. In fact, if you would continue reading in Luke or Matthew, after Jesus tells them there's a big problem here, too many lost people, there's a solution, it's you guys, so go, it says that he sent them in pairs. And I look at that from a system standpoint, and I'm like, Jesus, man, why would you break down 72 and send them out in pairs when you could have covered double the amount of territory and just done good training? Jesus, did you not train them good enough? Right? It's obviously not. Can you just send them out 72 separate and really cover that? He said, no, they have to go in pairs. They need each other. You are not supposed to go and share your faith alone. You go with others. You partner with your local church with godly relationships. And that's why I want to give you practical ways we do that. The first is this, small groups. We have small groups launching next Monday. The directory is going to go open. It's really one of my favorite days out of the church calendar year. I love it. It's kind of like Black Friday because it goes live and then you just start seeing people just start signing up because there's a cap to small groups. There's only 12 people in each group. We keep it small. And you're going to go on Monday morning, just refresh. It's live, right? Just go in and all of a sudden just joining the group. Here's why, because as you're sharing your faith with other people and praying for lost people, you need a group of people around you that's encouraging you in that. I need that. I'm joining a small group just as I do every single semester. I need to know that there are people that I can say, hey, I'm praying for my friend. I want to share the gospel with him tomorrow. Can you pray a prayer of boldness over me right now and confidence? Could you pray that he would have a soft heart, show up to a group next week? Man, I chickened out. Can you encourage me? Can you pray with me? You need to be in small group. If I could just take the rest of your day and hold you captive here until you sign up, I would do it. I just want you to be in small groups so bad because it's really where freedom happens. It's really where life change happens. And we're excited because this year we are making so many different groups so that everyone can get involved. We've got a group especially for you if you're new to church. You're new to Jesus. We're launching a group that's the group that you need to be in. And we've got groups that are digital. We've got a group launching for married couples this semester. We've got men's group. I've heard talk of prayer and fitness. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening. We're making sure the childcare piece is somewhat covered because I'm praying a really big prayer. I'm actually praying this year that 100% of those who come to Blaze Church would actually be in group. I'm praying for 100% engagement because I truly believe what happens on a Sunday matters, but we're all in rows. We need to be in circles with each other. And so look out for next week when these small groups go live and you find the one that best fits you. And then the second way that we work together is actually what you're experiencing now, weekend services. One of my favorite things is when I hear someone say, you know, Pastor Keith, I love this church because I can invite my friends to this church. And I know what they mean by that because they'll go on to say, yeah, I loved my church growing up, but man, I would never invite anybody to come. It was good for me, just not for them. It's just, and if you're new today, you're already experiencing that, aren't you? That you're saying, wow, I mean, I can understand the message and the music is engaging and everyone seems so friendly and welcoming. It's a clear next step of what I have to do. That's how we work together. When you share your faith and invite someone, that's how we do this together, that you're not alone. And I think last but certainly not least, most important, is that when you go out in the presence of God. Isn't this confusing? Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. And then he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Up or here? Which one is it, Jesus? And it's because of the presence of God. It's because of his Holy Spirit. That's why we believe that you don't go on your own, but that you go walking in God's Spirit. That's why God has so much for your life. It's why even last week at our 11:30, we were praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be overwhelmed with his presence in a way we experience that power. In fact, Jesus had said, before you witness, make sure that you understand, be baptized in my Spirit. It is in God's Spirit that you are going to be most effective as a witness for him. It's only by his power. You don't face tomorrow on your own. And so I want to pray for you right now as we get ready to sing this song that really is a reminder that wherever we go, God is with us, another in the fire, that maybe you're going through some seasons right now where you feel on your own, you feel left alone. No, God is there with you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. God has provided all of this for you so that you might experience him and be a light and be salt. So let me pray for you as the team comes. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have given us this privilege to see people go from lost to found, from dead to alive in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that today our hearts are being stirred up, that we would not allow this week to go by without us sharing our faith with someone. That, Lord, we would declare that clear gospel, that we would get close to people so that we might bring change. God, I pray that we live a consistent lifestyle in front of others, that they would see how we live and bring you glory. Lord, I thank you that you've called Blaze Church to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world right here in this community. May we continue to live on mission. And Holy Spirit, we need you. And we are trusting in your power. We are trusting in all that you do, the gifts that you give, and the fruit that you produced, so that we might be salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen.